Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center, and it was a couple of months ago or so that we talked about aging parents and caring for aging parents. We had such really positive and focused calls on that topic. We decided to come and revisit it again today. So I welcome you to our Intentional Living Center, caring for aging parents, some of the challenges, some of the joys, some of the realities. And we invited back to the studio today Renee Starnes, who's president of Comfort Care Tucson, and very interested in our ministry at Intentional Living, and a friend. And she lives in this world every day, and with she and her over 100 staff members helping people in their homes, caring for people in their homes. And so, Renee, thank you for being back again today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And we have a lot of new listeners who didn't hear that program from several weeks ago. And I mentioned that, you know, you were 42 years old. You're very successful. Silicon Valley, you're involved in all of that kind of thing. And you decided, you know, God was leading you into this kind. This is a hard work.
It's hard work.
I mean, there's nothing, yeah. You know, this isn't for sissies, as my mom would say. She said, growing old ain't for sissies. And, you know, the kind of work that you're doing, going and caring for people, you must have a real heart for people, for older people, people struggling.
I sure do. It started with my grandmother, actually, but she was my very best friend growing up. But when I moved to Tucson, you were asking how I got into this. And I lived in Simbacus, which is a community that was designed for you to be able to transition through all stages of your life. So we had an independent and assisted living community right in the middle of our neighborhood. And I was out walking one day, and the residents stopped and were talking to me and asked what I did. And I said, I had just retired. And so they gave me a job. They invited me to come down and help in their independent living facility. So I was leading chair exercise classes and water aerobics classes and helping with their activities, and just really fell in love with all of these cute little people. And they actually became the center of my social time too. I just really loved spending time with them. But at the same time, I was called by a local franchise owner of Comfort Care to come and help them do some business development. And at the end of the day, I ended up buying the company. And I knew that that's really where God wanted me. And it's now been 11 years that I've owned the company. And I love it. It's the hardest job I've ever done and the most satisfying.
What's the one thing you've learned? I mean, you were a business development person and a high-tech person, all that. What's the, I don't know, looking back after 11 years, what's the one thing you've learned about caring for aging families and people who are elderly that you didn't know before? What's the one thing that maybe stands out as something you've learned?
Well, I think in my business career, I could put processes in place, and things were pretty consistent. The outcomes, the dynamics of any given situation were pretty consistent. And this business, there's never a day that is the same. There are never two clients or two families that are the same, so there's never a solution that's the same. So I think when we get advice from others, just know that that might not always apply. It's just advice.
Because there's individual differences with human beings.
Absolutely.
It's not quite a widget.
Right.
It makes a difference. Okay, we've got some calls we want to get to, and we'll get to one here in just a moment.
This is Steve Tanner with Intentional News about therapeutic music in the treatment of Alzheimer's and dementia.
About 20 years ago, I discovered how a song could trigger memory.
Steve Toll is a classically trained musician and the national manager of therapeutic music programming for Comfort Care, in-home and elder services. He says it took a visit to his 97-year-old grandmother in her assisted living facility that sparked an idea.
And she would say, you know, I really miss my friends. And I knew that many of the people in the community were living in that assisted living. And I said, well, aren't your friends all here with you? And she said, well, you know, but that's true, but that's not what I mean. I mean, they don't remember me. We can't have the same kind of conversations we had. We can't have the same kind of connection that we once had. But when you bring your guitar and when we sing songs, we're all connected. And in fact, that's what happened. They would hold hands. They would sing the songs together. So that just piqued my interest. And it was amazing to me that people who were totally disoriented didn't remember what they had for breakfast, but remember a song from 40 years prior. Music is a great tool because it creates an instant bond. When someone is doing music, singing with you, playing music, you have a sense of safety. You feel safe with that person. And that's one of the critical issues. So if a person feels safe, then we have the door opening to more connectedness.
We link to Comfort Care and their dementia care programs on today's highlights page at theintentionallife.com. In a few minutes, Steve Toll tells us an amazing story of a very unresponsive man with dementia who came alive when he had the chance to play his drum. For Intentional Living, I'm Steve Tanner.
Very good. Thank you, Steve, for sharing that music and the therapeutic effect of music. And for aging, it's, we know it works with children. We know it works with people. Do you see that, the power of music, Renee?
We do. We actually, here in the Tucson community and across the country, have a program called Joyful Memories. And we go into assisted living, rehab facilities, all kinds of memory care units. And we play music from their generation. And their generation usually is 40s and 50s music. And we take instruments in, and people who haven't even spoke in, you know, 4, 5, 6 months or years, they remember the words to these songs, and they start tapping their toes and nodding their heads and clapping their hands and singing the words to songs. It's amazing.
That's powerful. All right. Thank you for sharing that. Let's go to some calls. Marianne has been waiting to talk to us from Michigan. Welcome to the program, Marianne.
Hi, Dr. Carlson.
Appreciate your call. What's your question today?
Well, my biggest concern right now is I'm 64 years old myself, and I moved to Battle Creek about a year ago to help my daughter with some things, and she some illness issues, but then she wound up pregnant. We now have a beautiful granddaughter and a grandson that grandsons I love very much. But I previous to this, I had taken care of my mom, who's now 87, and I felt like things were not going real great. A little bit tense with me, but I couldn't get my brothers at the time to be really very involved. One, the middle one, you know, had some business experience, so he would come and help somewhat, but more it was to kind of, you know, get away from his thing with his family, but not, you know. Mm-hmm. So my and at the time when I first started doing more with my mom, which turned 80, I moved from Lansing to Coldwater, Michigan, where I lived with my daughter and son at one point. It was just, she moved and we were trying to, you know, the boys just kind of moved her, and then it was like, okay, you deal with this.
So you have you have been the caregiver, I hear, uninvolved siblings. So what's your question today?
Well, my question is, I went to visit her with my daughter and so on, the grandkids this weekend, and I saw again, you know, my ex-sister-in-law has been helping with her a lot, or she has people that we had set up to come in and help. But it's hard for me because I see where she still has a lot of time by herself, and she takes good care of herself, you know, takes good care of things. She has mm-hmm. people coming in here and there at least once a week to help with things, but it's hard for me. I talk to her more often now, again, on the phone.
So are you concerned that no one's...
I'm trying to make a decision. I'm concerned what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
I heard her say again, well, Bert comes, but she has a family. She has her own family.
Okay. All right. Let me ask... sorry to jump in, Maria. Time is limited. I want to ask Renee to address that. When family members, they all kind of see... As I hear... Marianne, she's saying, I see it, and maybe this, and my siblings kind of see it, but no one's really in charge, and there's no really a plan here. Do you observe when, by the time you get called in, have people waited too long, I guess is the question.
Typically, yes.
Have they waited too long? And what are some of the early signs a family should, sit down and talk about what are we going to do with mom and dad here?
So the first point that someone observes that everyone's not on the same page, it would be really appropriate if that person would facilitate a conversation with the whole family. Just try to pull everybody together. Tell them your concern. Be direct. Be kind, but be direct. Tell them what your concerns are and see if you can't get everyone on the same page.
Now, is that with mom and dad?
Typically, I would not do it with mom and dad first. I would try to get the family on the same page first. Because any kind of discussions or unsettledness creates, especially with somebody with dementia, it creates more anxiety and stress mm-hmm. in their life that they're not able to process effectively. So if the family can come together and create some solutions and come back and present them to mom, you're way better off. Mm. And if you don't feel like you can do it facilitate those conversations as a family well, there are lots of people that can help the families facilitate those conversations.
All right. So talk.
Talk. You know,
it's like many things in life. We tend to wait too long, too long for a lot of things instead of starting earlier. Okay, Marianne, thank you for reminding us of that. I appreciate your call. Let me go to Nikki, who has a question about mom. Welcome to the program, Nikki.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. What's your question?
Well, thank you so much for what you do, and thank you to Comfort Care, too. I guess I'd like to know what your opinion is. My mother was, she had her documents ready. I did, you know, I had her care, and I watched her for 3 years. Mm. She was, she went into a nursing home briefly for rehabilitation because she'd fallen. She had a brain tumor on the top of her head. And then they transferred her to the hospital because of her medication was off. And in the hospital, they wanted to put her in hospice. And I said, no, we're not going to go that way. She's not in pain. There's nothing wrong with her. I can take care of her at home. And they took me to court with no reason and took my medical power of attorney away from me.
Wow.
Now, the judge, I went the next day and I said, why did you do this? And he said, because your mother, the doctor says your mother needs to be in hospice. And I said, well, you know, she doesn't. She's fine. I'll just take her home and take care of her. And he said, well, you know, they want your mother to go into hospice. I said, okay, put her in palliative care. I would welcome some in-home help, but don't put her in the hospice program. And the judge said, okay, she has palliative care. And the gavel went down, and the doctor that was there representing the hospital said, no, she has to go into hospice. So the judge said, okay, she goes into hospice. You know, my mother specifically said she didn't want to be in hospice. There was no reason for that to happen. She was sick, but you know what? They had sent her home before when she was half dead, and she revived. Music helps. You know, enjoying your parents' help, loving your parents is the big thing. And loving them enough to not let that happen. I think people have to know that morphine paralyzes the esophagus and kills the person. Not a lot of people know that. Hmm. They think it just helps them with their pain. Well, there are over 2,000 different pain medications they can go on. And you know what? They don't kill you.
Let me ask Renee to address this. Obviously, your specific case, you know, is unique to you. But in general, Renee, with families who may not agree with the care that's being given by a physician or whatever, how do they? Have you seen this kind of
yes.
a thing? And how do you address this?
And it's happening more often too. Is the state and government are getting involved in our lives and making decisions for us. So the thing, again, that I would encourage everyone to do is have a will or a trust to define how they want the end of their, what they want the end of their life to look like. Do they want to stay in their homes with family support? Do they want to be in a facility? Do they want to go to the hospital? Because then you have the grounds to go back to the judge and say,
here's what they said.
Mm-hmm. And the courts have to honor the wish of the patient. So even as us, you know, advocate, when I go into hospital settings with doctors and have meetings with social workers, I try to always know what the wish of the patient is.
Yeah.
And then I express that and I use those words. This is the wish of the patient.
It's interesting. You go to some medical procedures today, very minor medical procedures, and one of the things the nurse will ask you is, do you have a living will and do we have a copy of it? Mm-hmm. Which always makes me a little unsettled before I go and have that procedure. But that is an important document that families need to have to really think about how do you want to be treated and at the end of your life.
Right.
And so there's an element of this whole program where we've talked about caring for elderly parents and grandparents, but the responsibility is before you become that elderly parent or grandparent, do your homework. Have a plan. Pray, get that worked out. Sit down with your family. That'll make it a lot easier when decisions have to be made later. If they have heard from you and you've documented it as a parent or grandparent. Okay, Nikki, thank you for your calls. We've got a few more we'll get to here in just a moment.
As you've listened to Dr. Randy Carlson on Intentional Living, you've made new commitments. You're going to live life differently and impact the people around you for Christ. One of the ways you can reach even more than your friends and family is by helping Dr. Carlson keep this broadcast on the air for the thousands who listen daily.
Become a member of Intentional Living by supporting the program with your ongoing monthly gift. We'll encourage you even further with a teaching on CD from Dr. Carlson each month. Become a member today. Call 888-888-1717 or go to theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
This is Steve Tanner with a really cool intentional story about the power of music in the care of those with dementia.
Many people who played instruments, when they get Alzheimer's or some other form of dementia, a lot of times family members think that they can't play any longer.
That's Steve Toll, the National Manager of Therapeutic Music Programming for Comfort Care In-Home and Elder Care Services. Steve talks of an amazing story he witnessed of an awakening through music. He was leading a sing-along that day at a care facility.
And there was one man sitting there, and I noticed that he was tapping on his legs. And the way he was tapping the rhythms indicated that he had a kind of an advanced sense of understanding of music. So I asked his wife, I said, you know, your husband seems to really have a great developed sense of rhythm. She said, well, that's no surprise. He was a drummer in the 1930s in a dance band. So I said, do you happen to have any of his drums? And she said, you know, I think I have one in the attic. She went up into the attic, took a snare drum out. We put it in front of him. Now, this is a man who was despondent most of the time. His head was down. He really didn't engage. Put that drum in front of him. Started a song. His head came up. His eyes opened. He smiled and he started to play. And it was amazing. He played right along with me, caught every musical nuance. It was amazing. We were communicating perfectly. In fact, he even winked his eye at me. Now, this is somebody, that level of engagement was something that was a total miracle from where he had started. After that, then that became part of his care plan. And every time there was music, he had his drum. And I really do believe that that helped him to live a much longer life, because he did stay at that level for a number of years before he finally passed.
Find out more as we link to Comfort Care and their dementia care programs on today's highlights page at theintentionallife.com. For Intentional Living, I'm Steve Tanner.
All right. Thank you, Steve. That's interesting. Bringing the drum down and playing the drum and all of a sudden you light up. There are recesses of the brain that are still connected there.
That's right.
And you find that to be true, too, with music, don't you?
Absolutely.
We talked about that last time you were
yes.
here, the power of music.
Yeah, it's extremely powerful. And one of the things that stays with us when everything else is gone is the past yeah. memories from our youth.
Interesting. Renee Starnes is our guest today. She's the president of Comfort Care. It's a franchise here local in Tucson. It's a national chain. But she's a friend of the ministry. She's passionate about what we're trying to do with Intentional Living and making a difference with the ministry. And we invited her to come and talk about her experience growing up in the tech industry as a business consultant. She ends up buying the franchise. She's ended up helping these people because of a passion that you have for those seniors. And God bless you. And you do it with a smile.
I love them.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get some more callers on here before the time runs out. Danielle is in Arizona. Welcome to the program today.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Appreciate it. What's your question?
Okay, my mom is not aging. She'll be 50 next year, but it's always been my sister and I. My mom was adopted. All of our extended family on her side has kind of left her life because of how difficult she is to deal with.
Hmm.
She was a drug addict my entire childhood, as well as most of my sisters. She was abusive toward us both during our childhood. As we've gotten older, our relationship with her has gotten better. Our dad is out of the picture completely. So it's really just my sister and I dealing with her and taking care of her the best that we can. She's also been diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Mm.
It's a little easier for me because I'm a military wife and I'm not living, in my hometown anymore. But recently, my mom moved in next door to my sister. And we're both still dealing with issues with her mood swings. Some days are great. It's just a roller coaster. Some days are really great and she's happy and kind and respectful. Other days, it's, you know, she's threatening to kick my sister out of the house, which her name is on. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just goes from zero to 100.
Well, and that goes with her diagnosis. Mm-hmm. I think I hear the question, but what is your question today, Danielle?
I'm just trying to figure out how my sister and I can live our lives. You know, we both are married with two kids, and it's difficult to because she demands so much from us, and she always has, and she gets very angry with us if we try, you know, she's not understanding of our families at all. So I'm trying to figure out how we can balance and what our role is as her daughters at this point in her life and with her diagnosis. What should our role be now that we're married with kids, and how far should we go to help her, and how much should we expect for her to do on her own?
Well, in your case, too, it's not that you have a 95-year-old parent that you know has a very limited amount of time. This is a 50-year-old. This could be a lifetime challenge. And I'm sure you find this, too, where you have the parents who are very uncooperative and very inconsistent, have mental illness as well. What do you do?
So it's tough. And
fix this in one minute, Renee.
Yeah. First, I would say, you know, the world would tell you to probably abandon her and go live your lives and you know, really focus on your own families. But, you know, I think God's word tells us to come alongside these people that are hurting. And she does have a mental illness that she does not have control over. But that I would encourage you to make sure that she's seeing a psychiatrist, that she's getting her medications, and that you're doing everything in your power to make sure that she has the medication she needs.
Now, what about boundaries, though? I'm sure you find that, too. There are times where they're so enmeshed in the families, the relationship is such that if the caregivers don't take care of themselves, they're going to go down.
That's true,
How do they put boundaries in place?
It's tricky, and there's no set answer for that. You know, I will say that, you know, if your marriage starts to suffer, if your children are feeling neglected, that you need to put some balance back into life. Again, I know if you get your mother medicated appropriately, that will take off a huge piece of the stress. But there are two components to this. There's the mental illness, and then there's a personality component that's existed all of your lives. And everybody has a relationship that they're playing in the family and a role that they're playing in the family. So just, you know, be careful about the personality component, and you make sure that you do have your boundaries and that you know what your limits are.
And I think with the limits, that's the idea of maybe getting outside help, having other resources available, not trying to do this thing completely on your own. That's just a flyover. I know Danielle doesn't answer all the specific issues, but hopefully it lets you know that you're not alone. Thank you for your call. Let me get Connie on. I think we have time quickly for Connie from Michigan with a question today. Connie, welcome to the program. What's your question?
Hi. I have a brother that has Alzheimer's and dementia, and he's also Down syndrome. He's quite a bit younger than I am, and all of our other siblings are in a different state quite far away, so I am kind of on my own here. I live in a very small rural community, and I'm just getting to know some of the people. And we're tied into a really good church, but it's a small church. And it's just very difficult to be doing this on my own and to try to find somebody to care for him when I need, you know, to do something. It's, you know, trust issues with other people. Are they really doing what they're supposed to? Because I rescued him out of a very abusive home where he was going through physical and mental and financial abuse and had to fight the court system to get him to be able to live with me. And he's been living with me for about 10 years now.
Wow. What a loving act, though, Connie. I think about in the world in which we live today, there's such a disposable mentality with people, with life. And the fact that you would step in, you could have just, you know, denied it and walked on with your life, but you chose to step in and do something to protect your brother and care for him. But boy, I tell you, I hear in your voice you're worn out. Mm-hmm. You're just worn out. And here she is, Renee, in a small community and doesn't have the resources. And mm-hmm. And this is probably 1,000 listeners like this right now today. What do you say to that person like? What do you say to Connie and others like her? They're trying to do the very best they can, but they're just worn out.
Yeah, that's very hard. Again, you know, you mentioned your church and, you know, there are local resources you can use, but a lot of times we are kind of on our own, especially in these smaller communities. But again, I would reach out to your church and your small groups and see if some of them can come alongside you, because it is important that you maintain your health and that you can stay positive to be there for him. But what you're doing is amazing. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of people in these situations, and there's not always an easy solution.
You have to be creative, I'm sure, and looking for resources that may be available, provided by the state or the city or the community that you didn't know about, or like you say, the church. And of course, there's professional companies like yours and others that can come in, but not everybody can afford that
or
equipped to do that. And of course, that's every family's going to have to face it, their situation differently. But sometimes you got to get outside the box and really look at the fact that what if this or what if that? How can I get creative and get outside the box? Because there's probably resources available sometimes that go unused because people don't know about them.
There are. And the state, the VA, if you're a veteran, and many of our clients are veterans, the Veterans Association has a lot of resources. Again, I keep going back to the church in our community because local people have put together so many unique resources. And I think they're even doing a better job at it than the government sometimes does. So just searching out, look in your local papers, talk to your neighbors, talk to friends. And, you know, even if you're getting short respites, you know, 3 or 4 hours of a neighbor just stepping in and helping with dinner and giving you a break, even those short respites can mean
a lot
to
you. A little bit
of
energy back in. Boy, I wish we had more time. But I thank you, Renee, for being here today.
My pleasure.
Renee Starnes is president of Comfort Care Tucson, and she's just come to share her own heart, her own expertise, what she's learned, stepping into helping the seniors in a very tangible way. And I appreciate you being here today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
We'd love to hear your stories, your comments, whatever you've learned, maybe a question you'd like to ask, or join the discussion on our Facebook page. You're welcome to do that by going to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And a lot of information there for you. Or you can call and share your story with us at 888-888-1717.